The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
You're worth it.
I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
It was a very big success.
At a certain point, L'Oreal adopted it as the tagline for their entire business.
Parce que je le veux bien.
Even today, that's their motto.
Because I'm worth it.
Because you're worth it.
You're worth it.
We're worth it.
And I'm worth it.
She wrote the most influential tagline in women's beauty advertising.
I'm worth it.
It's magic, that phrase.
Those words just get better with age, don't they?
I'm worth it. Because you are. And always will be.
That's one of the most famous taglines in advertising history, written in 1973, written to some extent as a pushback against the intrinsic sexism that was part of Madison Avenue, that was part of advertising at the time, written by a woman called Ilan Specht. And it's a very good tagline, very successful tagline. Not necessarily what you would think would make for good documentary fodder, but it does. It's the subject of a documentary called The Final Copy of Ilan Specht by Ben Proudfoot, who is the director. And it's a gorgeous piece of work. Ben is with us this morning. Ben, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, can we go right to that thing of what caused you to think a single tagline and its author might be worth a documentary?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like most people, I had heard the tagline or seen it on billboards, you know, because I'm worth it, because you're worth it, etc. And when I found out that Elon, who was a young woman in her 20s at the time, had written it as a junior copywriter surrounded by, you know, in the world of Mad Men, as a really big middle finger to the ideas that they were coming up with, I got curious. And then when I finally spoke to Elon and she revealed to me that, you know, she wanted to tell her story, but there was one hitch, and that was that she was in the last couple months of her life. I felt, you know, duty bound to do right by her. And I think the third element, which you find out in the movie, is that because I'm worth it wasn't just a glib tagline, clever, you know, grouping of words that Elon had come up with, even though it was that. It was also a reflection of who she was as a human being, which we find out from her stepdaughter, who tells the story of how Elon really told her and taught her in private that she was worth it, which kind of steered her life in the right direction. I thought all of those things, such a beautiful combination, a very human combination coming out of, you know, what I've always understood is just sort of another advertising tagline, and I thought it was worth a film.
And the way in which you treat her imminent death is very touching and very tastefully done. But it's interesting. She's not in any way bowed either by age or by her oncoming death. She at one point talks about the tagline being a middle finger, an FU to the men in the ad agency, and adds to who I assume is you behind the camera, and FU too.
Yes, exactly. I don't think Elon bowed to anyone ever. I think she was someone that did not look for any signs of external validation. When I first talked to Elon on the phone, she wanted to see my films. So I sent her a couple of the films I'm most proud of. And she called me back the next day and she said, I have notes for you on the films you sent. Now these films have been released for years. Some of them have won awards. And I said, well, Elon, the films are already out. She said, are you going to listen to my notes or not? And I said, okay. So I sat there for about, 15, 20 minutes as she went through each one of these films saying, you know, you hold on this shot too long. This is indulgent. Why do you need to do this? This section can be removed. This would be. And I thought, man, this person is a really good creative director. And of course she was brilliant.
Now, take us back to the time, in 1973, Madison Avenue. You have a number of shots of or clips of advertising at the time. One fabulous one of a male voiceover saying, you know, the young lady of today doesn't have to struggle just with being a housewife. She also has to be a glamorous hostess. It is so dripping of misogyny. Give us a sense of the context and the discussions around the creation of the tagline.
Yeah, so, you know, going back, you know, 50 years to Elon's world at the time, you know, it was a time of extraordinary misogyny, and it wasn't whispered. It was very much out loud and embedded in everything, in movies, and especially in advertising, et cetera. And I have to say, it wasn't hard to find those advertisements. I mean, it's not like you have to really seek it out where, you know, somebody had really gone over the line. Almost every piece of advertising from that period in the 1960s and 70s is just dripping with it, and really sort of places the woman in the household, in the kitchen, and nothing beyond that. And really is you know, shows the man as the spouse as someone who's making decisions for his wife. In fact, when Elon first pitched the idea, "Because I'm Worth It," the men in the room were smart enough to know that that was a good idea. But as you find out in the film, they changed it to a line from a man saying, "Because she's worth it. I'm buying her this hair color because she's worth it." And we actually found the original filmed version where it was a man's line, "Because she's worth it." And it tested so poorly that they went with "Because I'm worth it." And that was the catalyst that would sort of go on a great bonfire, a feminist manifesto that is still to this day L'Oreal's tagline.
The first iteration, though, the one of the guy, because he's walking arm in arm through a sort of a meadow idyll with the girlfriend or wife saying this, it is so condescending. It's just joyous to watch. You don't see that quality patronage anymore.
As we would say today, it was so cringe.
That's exactly the phrase.
It was so cringe, yeah.
So this then, what was interesting about it and I hadn't realized was you talk about it becoming something of a feminist manifesto. It became the defining line for the entire corporation. L'Oreal defines itself by Elon's tagline ever since.
Yeah, I think Elon's words gave something for L'Oreal to hang their hat on and aspire to and remember who they are and what they're all about, you know. Because it's interesting, you know, at the end of the day, I think there's a lot of chatter and discussion about, you know, big companies and corporations, and they don't have a, you know, they're sort of faceless and soulless. But ultimately, they're just collections of human beings like Elon, like me, like you. And when you have a North Star that means something, you can accomplish a lot. And I think that's the gift that Elon gave L'Oreal and gave to all of us, is a North Star of what is this all about, and why. And I think that's its staying power. That's why it's been there for more than half a century.
Now, you as filmmaker, how do you balance the implicit risk that what you do is make a 15-minute art house ad for L'Oreal?
Well, you know, to be totally honest, a lot of it is just not doing it unless you have artistic and creative control and final cut, you know, which I had on this film. I mean, the movie ends with Elon saying, you know, "I don't give a about advertising, you know, I don't give a." And I don't think that line would have been conceived, you know, as something that you would find in a film that was, you know, in part presented by L'Oreal. But it's because they were brave enough to, you know, share the pen and let me as a filmmaker make the film that I needed to make, that I promised Elon I would make. And it was that creative freedom that produced the film you saw.
Now, we talked earlier on about the fact that she was dying when this film was being made. She is very evidently dying. This is an evidently terminally ill woman, yeah, who you are talking to and who you are filming. A, how difficult was that? And B, how sad was it for you?
You know, it was obviously not as difficult for me as it was for her. I think, we had the camera. There were many days and weeks where we had everything ready and Elon said, not today. I mean, it was from the time we moved the camera into her apartment until when we filmed was about a month of days where she didn't feel up to it. And then finally she said, okay, let's do it today. I'm feeling good today. To be honest, I think I sort of steeled myself. You know, I lost my dad 5 years ago. And to be honest, I can't imagine having a camera in the room for any of those months leading up. But Elon, you know, she wanted to get it down on, she wanted her version of the story. I mean, it just had not been told. And so this was important to her. She's a storyteller. And we were there to, as a service in some way. It felt like a bit of a religious experience that we were there to capture her the final copy of Elon Specht, you know, the title of the film. But when she passed away, there was definitely a major emotional cathartic release, you know, that we had lost her. And it was incredibly sad. I mean, you always hold out hope that, you know, she was not that old of a person when she passed away. So I'm glad we did it when we did it. I'm glad that she was, you know, a trooper and made it happen. I wish she could have seen the amazing outpouring of love and appreciation that she has gotten. And I hope that somewhere she is experiencing that.
And writing notes for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. You know that. I'm sure there would be quite a few notes. Yeah, from Elon on the film of how to make it better.
The other thing that happens throughout this is you touch off her very unusual life and interactions with her daughter, who is not her daughter, and her daughter, who is not her daughter, is featured prominently throughout in the relationship they have, and it gives us a sort of an insight into the side of her beyond work, and it's touching in the way that it's done. You do all of this in 17 minutes. Do you find yourself yearning to say, okay, well, that relationship, maybe there's half an hour in that. Maybe there's 40 minutes. Maybe I go back to Madison Avenue and expand that. Is it difficult to make something this tight?
It is extremely difficult to make something that tight. But that's, you know, I think it's something we've forgotten in the film business because everybody's so eager to hold everybody's attention for as long as possible. You know, I'm a short documentary filmmaker. And for me, our value is elegance. How can you do the most with the least? You know, if you can achieve what you want, the essence of something in 17 minutes, why do it in 70? That's how I view filmmaking, is to try to make something as short as possible. I mean, time is precious. I would much rather inspire someone and get the story across in 15 minutes so that somebody can go live their life and spend time with their friends and family and think about the film than to suck them up into a 10-part documentary series. You know, I think the film industry and television has kind of lost its way on that. And so for our North Star, and look at Elon, 4 words, her craft is 4 words, you know, so I think there's something to be said about who can do the most with the least. It's a great challenge, and I love it as a short documentary filmmaker.
Well, I have to say, in my humble opinion, Ben, it's a challenge you delivered beautifully on. And what's great about it is normally when you talk about stuff that is available streaming, it tends to require some kind of premium service. In this instance, if you go on the TED YouTube channel, it is available there for viewing right now if you want to have a look. It is called The Final Copy of Elon Specht, and the director behind it is Ben Proudfoot. Ben, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.